Right, everyone, welcome to Tracks Through Time. I am your host and Freightways Deputy Editor Brielle Jekyll, and I'm here to tell you about some of the most interesting stories throughout history in transportation and freight. And as always, I am here with Mary O'Connell, fellow Freightways TV host, and today we are going into a really weird, quirky territory to start off the new year, and I'm very excited about this. How are you doing, Mary?
I am swell. I am very excited about this episode, but not for the reasons that you are. And I have a really fun story about why I love this. But I think I'll save it for the end because, you know, it's just a heartwarming, feel good internet story, which, you know, we can never have too many of.
Yeah, I absolutely love this story, and it doesn't seem like, if judging by the title, it doesn't seem like it's a supply chain, you know, logistics story. But this is all about logistics, because that's why it's why this happened. It's how they solved the problem. But basically, today we are talking about the war of Australia versus emus.
I can't wait. This is great. First of all, I vaguely remember this story from classics last year, but not very well. I'm very excited to get further into it because, I mean, it was in supply chain. Sign me up.
I know, right? It's super fun, super fun. And, you know, of course, it's history. So I know there's a lot of actual tragic wars happening right now. So this is very light compared to that. Obviously, we're gonna go at this with some levity. We're gonna be, you know, funny about this,
just not to take ourselves too seriously, because even you don't need to go very far to find serious stuff happening in the world. So
exactly,
you know, let's be the fun that happens in the world.
Right. All right. So we're gonna go all the way back to 1932. Where a massive migration of emus really wrought havoc on the country's farmlands in Australia, deeply damaging the country's wheat supply, and even more than that. Literally 20,000 emus descended on Western Australia in migration. They almost decimated farmlands, and it provided those farmlands provided a much needed wheat and supplies to Australia. So this was really, really damaging their supply chains. So farmers were unable to stop them from eating the crops. And after the birds descended on their territory, which some do say was rightfully the emus, and in desperation, the farmers continuously called on the government for help. So they implored the government to send ammunition or take military action. And a lot of them were ex-soldiers themselves. And after this all really happened because after World War I, veterans had nowhere to go. They had no jobs to fill. So the Australian government, they wanted to give them something to do. They didn't want to abandon their soldiers. So they provided them with plots of lands to farm, and more than 5,000 soldiers took to Western Australia to try their luck at farming. But the area's land was really hard to farm. And after 1929, low prices resulting from the Great Depression put additional strain on the farmers. So subsidies for wheat were promised, but never fulfilled. So we're already struggling. And then in come the emus.
I just like that it's like, okay, so things are already bad, but wait. It's like an infomercial of like, but wait, there's more. And the more is emus.
Also, they're not just like regular birds. It's not like just like the movie The Birds and it's crows attacking, which is creepy enough, but emus are huge. They are, you know, it's like having a dinosaur attack you.
It's like emus are so massive and so weird that I do not understand them, but I know that they are also a force to be reckoned with. So I can only imagine the havoc that they brought.
Wait, I have to pause here for a second. So we have some llama farms out here, and we have like a couple emu farms too. And I think somebody in my development, which is a little rare because the development area is very suburban, but somebody definitely has an emu here. And it got out one day and the whole development, the whole neighborhood was like, there is an emu on the loose in Manahawkin, New Jersey. Like, it was so funny. There's all these videos of just this emu running down like suburbia. It was amazing.
That is absolutely fantastic. And I'm immediately jealous that I don't have anything that exciting in my neighborhood. Well, the closest I had was my neighbor across the street built a rabbit enclosure in their front yard.
Oh my God, really? We've had similar, like, I have this turkey keeps appearing and the turkey vultures also keep appearing, two separate occasions. But what was even funnier about this was that I'm an animal person, so I knew right away it was an emu because, like, I love all kinds of animals. And there's all these videos of these people going, there's an ostrich on the loose. There's an ostrich on the loose. It's not an ostrich. I mean, I get it, but anyway. All right, so back to the war. So now the emus have descended on Western Australia and things became so much worse. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with the emu, it is a large flightless bird native to Australia, and it's even featured on the country's coat of arms. So an emu is a very embedded part of Australia. And before 1922... it was a protected species. However, when the emus took over the farmland, it changed, obviously. They started to be seen as vermin. These soldiers turned farmers continued to beg for ammunition to help fight the birds since they had difficulty obtaining it themselves during the Depression. It was not easy to come across ammunition for, you know, your personal uses. So at the same time, the Australian government was under pressure to show that it was still giving World War I veterans something to do. The country really wanted to show that they weren't forgetting their veterans. So the idea to declare war against the emu in Western Australia arose.
So, I just like that they had felt that they had to declare war, not just like, you know, oh, we got a problem, we're going to need an emu exterminator. No, we're going to war with emus.
I know. So the 7th Heavy Battery of the Royal Australian Artillery was assigned the task. And Major GPW Meredith was its commander. And the country set out to conquer the birds, save its merchant business, and it did so with machine guns. So I think that's my favorite part of this war, is that this is all about supply chains, logistics, and an environmental problem. And Australia went war with machine guns.
I like that they chose the very American response to it. They just decided to solve it with weapons, which I don't love that that's known as like the American response to things.
I know.
But
at least
yeah,
they're giving their veterans something to do.
You know, and I mean, if you need jobs for your veterans, they're already trained in war. So might as well just bring them back out.
Yeah. So the response was, you know, a twofold reasoning. And like I said before, as a major animal lover myself, I found the story at first like really hard to digest because we're just going about, you know, we're talking about just mowing down emus with machine guns. That was the plan. But it gets the story turns around and gets really funny again when it becomes obvious that the Australian army, they failed against this flightless bird. They did not win this war.
But like it's a bird. So like, and you have a machine gun. So even if like it starts moving after you shoot, like you just keep shooting and moving. So unless the emu is wearing bulletproof armor, I'm not exactly sure how they got thwarted, because it's not like the emu's shooting back.
You're kind of going in the right direction. So despite considering these birds pests, emus actually are really incredibly resilient. They displayed remarkable speed and agility, so they were extremely difficult targets for the soldiers. They also have really difficult to pierce skin. So while they don't technically have armor that they bought, they're born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. leaving one soldier to say that they need to be shot in the back of the head with their mouths closed or through the front with their mouths open. So somebody actually was able to figure out that the most effective way to kill the emu was in the back of the head or... As a result, the soldiers struggled to effectively reduce the emu population. Only a few dozen were dead the first day, despite thousands of soldiers shooting at thousands of emus. Some soldiers even claimed the emus had elected leaders to facilitate the evacuations.
Oh my gosh. Emus had banded together and organized and become their own military. And I'm just picturing like, you know, like a Civil War battlefield of all these guys lined up in this field of emus, just like shooting. And the emus just standing there, like staring at them like.
Yeah. There's more of like, a zoologist, view of this. There is like traits that emus have where they're able to like have structuring. So they do have some kind of, it is in their, you know, animal instincts to operate this way, but it's just really funny. So the next day, the 7th heavy battery tried again, and they waited for thousands of emus to enter an area in a range of a whole setup of machine guns or one machine gun setup. So they're just waiting for them to come in and just, you know. And just like they planned, thousands of birds swarmed the area. They were perfectly in range. But as they went to go shoot the birds, the gun jammed. And quickly, the enemy caught onto the gambit and took off. And they successfully avoided their human foes and relocated to a safer area. Another strategy was to mount a machine gun on a truck, and that failed when the vehicle couldn't keep up with the birds. They were so fast that they could not keep up with the birds.
I absolutely love that. I will just love it. So what they should have done is they should have caught an emu, you know, trained it to put a machine gun on its back.
Oh,
so that way, there
yes,
you go.
Roadrunner style.
Exactly. Also, I'm just picturing the amount of like, okay, well, that plan failed. Let's go on to the next one. Like, I want to be a fly on the wall in that room where they're like, okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to put a machine gun on a car. That's the next logical, like what other suggestions were given that was the next logical solution.
Right. So newspaper. So when I was doing my research for this article, I was able to read a lot of newspaper reports from the time, and oh my, just go. So newspaper reports at the time make the war even more funny because there's a lot of reports with emus holding their territory firm. So it was like update. Right, so I'll read you one. It's so funny. No treaty of peace has been concluded, and the emus remain in possession of disputed territory.
It sounds like it's like a game. It feels like it's like the Sharks versus the Jets, but it's like the emus versus the soldiers.
But they're also in real newspapers actually depicting a war. Like, so funny.
And turf war of the of the most hilarious variety.
Oh my God. Now I'm imagining emus doing like, when you're an emu, you're... So that came from the Daily News from Perth on November 9th in 1932, and it went on. It is therefore expected that regular military operations will be followed by guerrilla warfare, which may continue for years and may be accompanied by stories of horrible atrocities. The emu commander is maintaining a studied silence as to his future plans, but it is understood that he is much impressed with the capacity for resistance shown by raw troops and confident that they will continue to uphold the best traditions of the race. He is credited with the intention to arrange a suitable poem to commemorate the emu glory on the field of Campion. And I just love that the news of the time can make fun of itself like that. Like, it's so serious, and like the wording of it all is just amazing. And I want to bring that back. It's like The Onion, but back in the day.
Exactly. It's like The Onion reporting on real news.
On real stuff, right.
What a time. What a time to be alive.
So Some progress was made as the war raged on for 2 weeks. However, Meredith, the major in charge, he estimated that even when they were successful, it cost 10 bullets for every emu taken down. So if they did get an emu down, that was 10 bullets it took for that to happen. So it was a huge waste of resources at this point. So troops were eventually recalled. No human soldiers were killed. And a total of 2,500 rounds of ammo was spent, but only 200 emus were killed, which RIP to those emus. But 2,500 rounds of ammo for 200 emus. That's crazy. So the soldiers returned home, and after that, federal labor parliamentarian A.E. Green, he was asked if the troops would receive a medal. And he replied that any medal should go to the emus, because the emus won. Regrouping, the government decided that the farmers would be given their own ammunition to fight for their own farms. So instead of a whole war of the U.S. or U.S. of the Australian army against the emus, it would just be like regular farming where you would take care of your own property. And after that, 57,034 emus were killed over the course of 6 months in 1934. They even instituted a bounty on the emus in the decades that followed, which resulted in 200,784,700 killed in Western Australia from 1945 to 1960, and the crops were eventually saved. Luckily today, the emu population is stable and classified as least of concern, with about 600,000 to more than 700,000 in population. They are once again a protected species, although encroaching human activity is threatening some populated areas, but it's happy to know that we didn't completely decimate the species from this war. And if the story does sound too much like the plot of a movie, it is in fact true, but it will also be covered in two upcoming films. There's one, I couldn't get a lot of information on these, but I mean, the story is so funny, so I'm happy they are doing some over the top stuff with this. But there's one short it's like really risky, comedic film called The Emu War, and that's produced by Umbrella Entertainment, and that came out on October 22nd. It definitely takes liberties with the plotline. But then apparently a feature-length film is also in development, written by John Cleese, and that came from The Guardian, so I'm excited to see what happens with that one.
I mean, if it's John Cleese, it's definitely going to give Monty Python vibes, which
yeah, that's what I'm
I personally am picturing, like, the castle and the bunny and the soldier, like, the knights. And like,
tis but to scratch.
Exactly.
The emus. It's all just the emus would be saying that.
Yes. but I personally like to think that although they lost the battle, technically the Australians won the war, and the fact that they just had to go back to their farms and take care of emus that way. And
yeah,
now everything's under control.
It was like better as a militia, clearly.
Yeah. But what a time, man. What a time. I'm glad that there are still emus in Australia, because, you know, that's important to still have the animal. But there is an animal that is not in Australia, but it is an emu, and it is a little bird, not a little bird. It's an emu that I have followed for a while on the internet.
A specific emu.
Specific.
Now I understand.
And he resides at Knucklebump Farms. You can find them on Instagram and Twitter. And his name is Emmanuel Todd Lopez. And he will
Emmanuel. I know who you're talking
Emmanuel,
about.
Don't do it.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel, don't. Sorry.
Emmanuel, do not choose violence today. But when you're talking about resiliency, so the farmer in Florida, when the bird flu was spreading really, really bad, she had to cull a bunch of the birds from her farm, and that apparently really depressed Emmanuel. And so he got really sick, and they did everything they could. He survived. He's great. He's living to cause havoc another day. But it is the cutest little, emu that will walk up, and she will like try to teach people about the animals on her farm. And Emmanuel will just come up and like knock her camera over, and she just yells at him, and it is wholesome. And I do have a t-shirt that says Emmanuel Todd Lopez on it.
That's so cute. I love when he knocks over the phone. I saw him steal it once.
Yes, it's so for anyone that wants to go find it, Knucklebum Farms, they're great. They are like a sink. They have like a bunch of random animals that they take care of there. It's very great. But yeah, so it's hilarious. And yeah, I think also there's the Useless Farm that has Karen the emu who attacks her, who attacks the lady who like owns her.
Yes, I've seen that too. My whole Instagram algorithm is just animals and Bravo memes.
And it's, then some. I mean, honestly, what else do you need in life?
Freight memes. is that your fun fact?
Well, that is one of my fun facts. I have a second fun fact, and that is, so I hate birds with a passion. They terrify me. They scare me. Scare me. Like, look, I was at the zoo with my friends and a bird swooped down too close. I screamed and ran. Everyone else laughed. My friend's 6-year-old daughter immediately was like, I'll protect you. It's okay. And I was like, this is humiliating that this 6-year-old is braver than I am around
That's
birds.
That's hilarious.
And like we were walking up to someone, she went, go, 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 go. And it was so heartwarming and sweet. But I tolerate emus at the best because they're just kind of cute and weird and, you know, terrifying. But they are the only birds with calf muscles. Emus are.
Is that why they run so fast?
I guess because they can't really fly because their wings aren't strong enough to like carry the size of their body. But it
imagine if they could.
It has a cat that would be terrifying. A very fast bird on land and then one that could fly. I would immediately know. And apparently they can swim too because they only have 3 toes. And apparently that's like a thing for like swimming.
I did see that on the
But yeah, so they're the only birds that have calf muscles, which is weird. And not something that I ever thought of because I don't think of bird legs that often.
Well, now I'm thinking of an emu leg and I can see it. Yeah. They're like deadly, deadly legs.
Yeah, it's terrifying. They are terrifying creatures. And I think I would probably die if I came face to face with one.
I'm surprised no soldiers died.
I mean, honestly, yeah. Because, I mean, if they want to get you, they're going to come get you. Also, another emu fun fact is that the males incubate the egg and raise the chicks. The women just like, bye.
I love that. Oh, kind of like, well, penguins take it after the lady does a little bit of the work and then she leaves.
No,
for food.
So like the females court the males instead of the other way around.
That's really cool. No, because I was just trying to think of what other animal do I know that does that off the top of my head, but.
Yeah, so like they'll come up, be like, hey, you want to have an egg? And they're like, okay, cool. And then the female just like pieces out, just like, bye.
Yeah, that's fun. I'm
going
to do
that
to my husband. Just kidding. That's a joke.
For legal reasons, that is a joke.
Yes. All right, everyone. I just do, speaking of legal reasons, I would like to throw out a big shout out to The Guardian and National Geographic for most of our information today. Also, the Archives of Australia that I like fully immersed myself in when I was doing the research for this. That was just so much fun. And yeah, but that's about all we have for today. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And you can follow me on Twitter or X at Jacob Brielle to see what else we have going on at FreightWaves Classics. Or you can email me at bjacob@freightwaves.com. Mary, what's your socials?
You can find me on Twitter at MaryO_119 for now. I keep toying with getting rid of Twitter. If you're on Twitter, let me know if we're still using it or if we're moving somewhere else. And then you can also find me on freightwaves.com/runningonice and freightwaves.com/checkcall.
See you guys in 2 weeks. All right, end scene.
I'm sorry.
All right, no.
I try not to laugh every time you do that.
And action. No.